So the new reading is from Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. Okay, Romans 8, verse 28 to 30. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Jacqueline. I gave a bit of a last minute change there. Okay, how's everyone doing this afternoon? You like the new look? Very good. Someone's excited. Okay, let's pray as we look at the topic for today. Father, thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and the plans that you have for each one of our lives are good, Lord. We thank you that, you are the good shepherd. You know each one of us by name and you lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We pray, Lord, as we look at your word, that you would shape our mind, our thoughts, to think more in line with you, to see life from your perspective, and to know what you're doing in our own lives, that we can respond rightly to you. We pray for your grace and for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I sort of changed the topic a couple of times because I thought we've done work before and a lot of y'all are not in the work zone thinking of work at the moment. And then I thought, okay, EC camp, I was all excited about we are one in Christ and being a world Christian for reaching out to everyone. And then I thought, no, let's come back to the series is about knowing God's will, and we sort of looked at that 2 weeks ago about making good decisions as we know God's moral will. And I thought what would be helpful was knowing what's God's big picture for our lives, what's God's will for our lives. And the Bible is very clear, the passage Jacqueline read, Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, in everything God is working, He's working for our good. And what is the good that He's working for us who love God? He's working to shape us into the character of His Son, Jesus. He's molding us to be more like His Son. So what's God's will for your life? He's changing you in the inside, from the inside out, in your character, to be more Christ-like, to be more like Jesus. That's God's will for your life. And what does that look like? Does that mean we'll all have a beard? And we don't know, maybe Jesus didn't have a beard, but assuming he had a beard, does that mean it's something external, like a look? Or what does it mean to be more like Jesus? It means his character, isn't it? In Galatians 5:22, we get a list of the fruit of the Spirit, and they are character traits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that's God's will for your life, to be growing in these characteristics. And but not just those lists. Wherever you read the Bible and there are character traits, to be more hardworking rather than lazy. Like that's also God's will. Like that's all these character traits are character traits that what it means to be growing in Christ likeness. So to be growing in honesty, to put away lies and deceit, to be truthful rather than falsehood. That's what God's will is for our lives. To be speaking in ways that honor Him, rather than speaking in ways that tear people down and not valuing people made in God's image. So that's God's will for our life. I want to look at one way that God grows us in our character. So firstly, I want to say that as God has saved us by His grace, He will also work in us by His grace. It's something that He does in us by His Spirit. So it's a grace thing. So we need God's grace to be changed into Christ likeness, and that's something that God does in us. God, who began the good work in us, He will bring it to completion. So that's God's part. So one of the ways that God does it is through hardship. Some of you might be going through hardship now. It is not purposeless. God works through hardship to build character in our lives, Christ-like character. If you're not going through hardship at the moment, you will go through hardship later. So just store this information so that when you go through hardship, you realize that it's not random, purposeless, but God is working in us to make us more like Jesus. So a few passages we look at. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves with the same attitude." We are to arm ourselves to be prepared with the same attitude. "Because whoever suffers in the body has finished with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." So as our Master suffered, we, His followers, who walk in His footsteps, will suffer. And so we are to be prepared with that attitude so that we are not surprised or think, "Hey, what's happening?" What is happening is exactly what's going to be happening and what God is telling us is going to happen. We are going to suffer. So the outcome of that suffering is that we will break with sin, that we will live for God and not for ourselves. We have a picture of this in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:36-46. Jesus was sorrowful. He was troubled. He knew that the road that was in front of Him was painful. So He prayed. So one of the things to do as you're going through hardship is to pray. And He prayed this: "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." And Jesus prayed that three times. He prayed, I'm not a person who likes suffering. In fact, if there's suffering there, I'm going in the opposite direction. And I'm sure that's the same with all of you. So we're not saying suffering for the sake of suffering, like as if there's anything good in it. Jesus prayed, "If it is possible, take this cup away from me, this pain, this hardship, the road that is difficult, but not my will, but Your will be done." And so we can pray the same prayer. When we go through hardship, we pray, "Lord, if it's possible, take it away. I don't really want this situation in my life, this infirmity, this work situation, whatever it is. If it is possible, take it away. But to accept that if this is part of God's plan, then I will say, not my will be done, but Your will be done." So to be prepared in our mind, we are going to suffer, we are going to have hardships, and because Jesus suffered, and He is the model, so we embrace God's will, even if it is painful and difficult. So Jesus suffered and died because it was God's will. And the blessing that was for all of us was that we have become friends with God. We have a relationship of God because He bore our sin, because He took the bullet, He bore the pain and He suffered. So it's not purposeless. There was great benefit for the rest of the world, for the rest of humanity. So our suffering also is not purposeless. There is there are things that God is working in around us, and one of the things is in our character. Often when we go through hardship, our immediate response is, Lord, please get me out of this. And there's a whole range of sufferings there. There's minor irritations, and the major, really, someone is going to kill you and you're going to be persecuted and martyred. So there's a whole range of suffering. Let me give you a small suffering of mine, nothing big, but it's just to give you an example. I was doing a celebrancy course, and I had to complete 50 tasks. That's my suffering, 50 tasks. You're there, you've got this uni workload, and you know what it means. It's really minor. Anyway, so I had to submit the online task. It's an online course. Submit the assignment, get back the next one, do the next one, do the research. It's such a pain. Like, I didn't really want to do this course in the first place, but I've got to do it so that I can marry people down the track. So there's a blessing for you all if you want to get married. Anyway, so for the first few months of the course, my prayer was, Lord, help me finish this quickly. Whenever I jump on the computer, let the answers come. Let it just be flowing so simply. If I do an internet search, I'll be able to find the information that I want. So that's my prayer. Lord, help me to finish. Let me get the research done quickly. But God did not answer that prayer. Lord, why? Why? Okay. God had a different agenda, and His agenda was to train me in working hard and being diligent. That's really like not in my frame of reference at all. That's not my plan. But that was God's plan. And He uses very normal things, a course that you have to do. So I remember, anyway, there's a few days where I was working from morning to late at night finishing the course. And there was no getting out of it. There was no quick prayer, quick answer. It was just hard work, and you just got to do it. But God was working, building in me, being hardworking, being diligent. Anyway, that's a minor, really tiny suffering. How about you? What are you going through in your life at the moment? Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe you have a medical condition. It could be so many things. If it's a medical condition, you can do what Paul did. Paul prayed that this torn, the thorn in his flesh would be taken away, removed, some sort of infirmity. So he prayed three times that God would remove it. But God, that was not God's plan. God had a different agenda. God said that, no, you're going to go through this because I will give you the grace and you will be made more humble. And that was God's plan for Paul, so that he wouldn't be proud. So if you pray about the things that you're going through and it's hard, but you're not going to get out of it because God's plan is that you go through it, then we accept and say, Lord, have your way in me. If it means making me humble, humble me. If it means making me hardworking, make me hardworking. Whatever it is, respond with thankfulness and gratitude. How do we grow in perseverance? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience, perseverance. How do we grow? It's when we keep trusting, even when things are hard. So if God wants to teach us perseverance, He's not going to remove whatever is difficult. Because that's what perseverance means. How about faithfulness? When we keep doing the right thing, even when we don't see any fruit, we are still faithful regardless of whether there's fruit or not. How about self-control? when we say no to the passing pleasures of sin, or when we are provoked, we don't retaliate. Jesus is our example in 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, what did Jesus do when he was reviled? He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. I can imagine Jesus, with all his power, he said, "Hey guys, you're messing with the wrong person. Like, do you know who I am?" Like, he could have so easily said that. I would have said, "Hey guys, he had so much power, and yet he restrained like a lamb to the slaughter. He was silent." I mean, talk about self-control. That is self-control. That is amazing self-control. So he did. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And so we are called to walk in Jesus' footsteps. So God is more interested in our character than our comfort. He gives us more grace as we humble ourselves under his hand. James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. It's like, man, that's a tough word, isn't it? Consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, how can we do it? That's like totally opposite. When we have trials, our natural response is to complain, to grow bitter, to be angry, to take it out on the person next to you. But the Bible is saying, consider it pure joy when you go through trials. So there's either something wrong with the Bible or there's something wrong with us, and we know there's something wrong with us. Okay, but what is the clue there? In verse 3 it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, we can go through it with pure joy if we have understanding. If we understand that it's not purposeless. If we understand that God is working in us to build godly character. If we understand that, then it helps us to respond rightly. If we have to go through chemotherapy, but we understand that that's the only way to get rid of the cancer, then we can go through it. Because we understand that, you know, that there is pain involved, but it's not purposeless. It is not meaningless. So God is building our character. And notice he says many kinds of trials. So it could be a variety of things. It could be persecution, sickness, unemployment, hardship, broken relationship. It can be so many things. But God is at work. If we believe that God works all things for our good, then whatever we are facing, whatever comes our way, then we are to learn to trust that under God's hand, God is at work in our lives. He's working to build our character. So it's not going to be easy when we go through hardship. It's going to be painful. But as we realize that God has not left us alone, as we realize that he is allowing us to go through the pain, as we realize that he has a plan, then we can accept it and be in a place of allowing God to work in our lives. One of the blessings of hard times is that you, after it, get a bigger picture of God. You can grow in your faith because you get a bigger picture of God. Jean had to go through surgery and in her time, and then a time of recovery. She was really weak for a while, but when she came out of it, she had a real trust in God, in God's sovereignty. Like, she used to make postcards with the words, "God reigns." I didn't understand that concept because I didn't go through it. But she really knew that God reigns, like, she just got a bigger picture of God, like God who allowed her to go through surgery, who allowed her to go through pain, who allowed her to go all the things, and she got a bigger picture of God. And not just that, God gives us the grace as we go through it. God was teaching her lessons as she went through it. There was a greater awareness of God's presence as she went through her time in hospital. Psalm 119, verse 71, it says this, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." It is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. So another benefit of hard times is that we grow deeper in our understanding and appreciation of God's truth, of God's word. Verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." So sometimes God allows us to go through hardship so that we learn obedience. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." So God has various purposes as he allows us to go through hardship. Obedience is costly. It means not doing what we want, but doing what God wants. It means saying, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." A very, 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 very practical place where the rubber hits the road is in the area of our authority figures. The Bible is very clear. Children, obey your parents. Sometimes we don't have the most loving, the most wise parents. Nobody's listening? Okay. But if you believe that God is sovereign, if you believe that before you were born, God knew you in your mother's womb, and so it's not who your parents are, is part of God's will and plan for your life, that means to submit under your parents is to submit to God. Same for husbands and wives. For a wife to submit to her husband is an acknowledgement that she is submitting to God. Same with employees and employers. Same with church members and church leadership. God has ordained authority structures which we obey God by obeying them, which we submit under God's authority by submitting to these earthly authorities. I mean, if they do the wrong thing, they will be held accountable to God. So God will deal with them. Your response is to do what is right before you and before God. It takes a lot of trust to live like that, but that's what the Bible is calling us to do, to exercise trust by understanding what God is, our responsibility before God, and doing that and realizing that God is all-powerful. He can turn the heart of a king like the stream. He can use Nebuchadnezzar, Osiris, a pagan king, for his purposes. He can harden the heart of Pharaoh. God can do anything. So if we have this big picture of God, then it will help us to submit to those who we are under authority of. And it's not easy. David, when he was in the wilderness, he had the opportunity to take the knife or sword or whatever and get rid of Saul. After all, God had told him, "You're going to be king." Samuel had anointed this son of Jesse. But what did David say? "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." He entrusted himself to God. And this was Saul who was going to kill him. Saul was going to, who was after his life. He understood that nothing can happen without God's consent. Okay, so that's just a practical application of that. Peter 4:19. "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." So our response when we go through hardship is to give ourselves to God, to trust God with our lives. I remember when we came back from the doctors, and the doctor said that Jean had to have surgery, and there wasn't, who wants to go for surgery? It's really a painful thing. But as we knelt beside our bed, God brought to mind an EE illustration, an evangelism explosion illustration. It's about this guy called Blondin. So Blondin lived many years ago, and he was a tight rope walker. So he one day he tied a rope on the Niagara Falls from both sides, and he took his walking pole, balancing pole, and he asked the crowd, "Do you think I can walk to the other side?" And all the crowd cheered, "Yes, you can do it." So he took the pole, he walked to the other side, and he came back. Then he got a wheelbarrow, and he asked the crowd, "Do you think I can wheel this wheelbarrow over this tight rope to the other side and back?" And the crowd cheered, "Yes, you can do it." So he took the wheelbarrow to the other side, and he came back. Then he put a sack of potatoes. It's heavy. Put a sack of potatoes. Then he asked, "Do you think I can take this sack of potatoes to the other side?" Then they all cheered, "Yes, you can do it." So he took the sack of potatoes, came back. Then finally said, "Do you think I can take a person to the other side?" They all said, "Yes, you can do it." Then he said, "Can I have a volunteer?" And then there was silence. Faith is getting into the wheelbarrow. And so God brought this illustration to mind when the doctor told us he had to go for surgery. And God was saying that when we become Christians, we got into the wheelbarrow. You know, God has us in the wheelbarrow, and He is leading us, and we are not in control of our lives. God is in control of our lives. Often we think we're in control because in the normal things, it seems like we're in control. But when life goes really not according to your plan, or when things are really... when things happen that you really know you're not in control, then you really know that you were never in control. It is God who is in control of our lives. And He is pushing us in this wheelbarrow and taking us according to His plan. Okay, let me just summarize. So what is God's will for your life? God will for your life is that you grow in Christ-likeness, to become more like Jesus in your character. And one of the ways that God works is through hardship. And it's not our plan, not our agenda, but because that's how Jesus walked and suffered, and He has He's the model in which we follow in His footsteps. But we trust that God knows us intimately. He knows how much pain and how much we can't take. He's faithful not to give us go beyond what we can withstand. So He knows our thresholds. He knows also what kind of things that would work. So what works with one person may not work with another person. He is gentle with us. He loves us. He will only bring pain and hardship that will be good for us, and in his big plan and His purposes. So we can trust Him because God is good all the time. So let's pray as we finish. Lord, we thank You that for Your Son Jesus, who died to take away sin, that it's not a barrier, that we can be Your children. Lord, we thank You that You are still dealing with sin in our lives to refine us and to purify us so that we can come forth as gold and be growing in Christ-like character. Lord, this afternoon we just pray, Lord, that You will help us to arm ourselves with this way that You work, and also to give us the grace to humble ourselves in what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to be able to rejoice, Lord, when we go through all kinds of trials, because we know that you are at work, Lord. You are building us. So we pray for your grace. We pray for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.